Today's episode of Bleacher Breakaway is brought to you by the first overall pick, the first overall pick, the first overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere, New York Rangers, Alexis Lafreniere, I can't even say his name yet, you know where you are, Bleacher Breakaway, I can't pronounce anything. This podcast is brought to you by the number one overall pick, My Extreme Happiness, our manic state, and you for being here listening to this podcast with us. Now, let's get to the show. Oh, and here's Mark Messier calling us the best part Rangers podcast. I mean, is he wrong? Tell me if he's wrong. First overall pick, Alexis Lafreniere, let's go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Breakaway fans, welcome to the first episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway in the Alexis Lafreniere era. Era? Woo! Gregory, say hello.
How blessed are we?
God bless, praise be.
As a city.
Oh.
Ryan, think about it. In 2020 has been a shitty sport year, but us New York sports fans, we get Lafreniere.
Yes.
On the heels of an MVP season from the greatest middle infielder of all time, Andreas Jimenez.
And
it's a great time to be
alive. There's like no fucking Mets talk today. I don't give a fuck.
I had to do it just to piss you off.
I don't give
I really needed
the fuck about the Mets today. Dude, I cannot believe this shit happened. I literally got on the floor and like rolled around a little bit because I was like, you know, I made some prayers to the hockey gods. I said I would run a half marathon. I'm going to do a stand-up set. I said I made a mukbang video thing. I'm going to write some poems for Tanner Glass. I'm going to go to a Flyers game in the Capope outfit, which is a nightmare, by the way, if that ever happens again. I don't know. I fear for my life. I'll tag Gritty. I'm just thrilled. I didn't think it would happen. And I have to tell you, I started convincing myself this morning. I started really, like, thinking, oh my God, we have a chance. We haven't won since 1965. Even then, it was like an AHL player sponsorship. It was a 16 league. We've never had the first overall pick. It's our time. If not now, when? Like, because I was thinking, like, when's the next time this is going to happen? When I'm like 60, 50? Like, the Rangers are about to try and compete for a couple years. There's no way they're getting a first overall pick. No fucking way. So if not now, when? So it's now. We got it. And I'm ready to play. I'm ready. Let's get the season. Let's end the Stanley Cup bullshit. And let's get back to season. I'm ready to go, Gregory.
There's a part of me. I was convinced Toronto was winning. I really did. After last night. After the way everyone was handling that just utter catastrophe. Even though it wasn't really a catastrophe. It's just a messed up year. So messed up things are going to happen. I knew somehow in my heart of hearts that the Maple Leafs were going to get rewarded out of all this. The fact that the Penguins didn't, the fact that the Oilers didn't, it's perfect.
It really is perfect. It's the best. And all right, can we talk about it? Did you watch the ball drop? I know you're working.
No, our commander in chief had bullshit to say, so I wasn't allowed to tune in at all.
Understandable. So, all right, I will say this. You know, I have a bit of a conspiracy guy sometimes. Conspiracy Ryan.
Oh, you think? So it can't be a heavier ball, right? Because
yes. The
mechanism in the machine needs to be able to pull the ball up. So if he drops the ball, he has to then put a lighter ball into the machine. That is more readily available to get sucked up.
He doesn't touch any other ball twice except for the Ranger ball. He drops the ball, and then I don't know what happens. Maybe it's not hit to his suiting. He picks it back up, adjusts it, and drops it slowly again. I don't care.
I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't know. Man, your heart goes out, and it doesn't really go out because who gives a shit about him? But you feel bad for the Red Wings. Tough luck.
Yeah.
Don't suck so much.
Hey,
next
listen,
time.
If I would have told you at the beginning of the year, the Red Wings aren't gonna get it, the Rangers are. I would have freaked the fuck out. If I was Stevie Yzerman, bro, I would be going nuts. I'd be going nuts.
I think it's worth revisiting one more time. I know I said this last week, but I'll say it again. I am not trading this pick for 3 and 5.
Yes.
I don't care.
Okay. Now
I don't
that we
want it.
Now that we've revisited, no, I'm good. It's not.
I mean,
good
I was a no at the time anyway. Uh-huh. I'm just a bigger no now.
it's just a situation where it's like, I can't explain this feeling. Like, Capo Caco was, what's the weirdest part is, like, we had to wait for Capo Caco, right? Because we didn't know, like, would Jersey take him? You know, it was a close match between one and two. I don't know if we're ever going to get into the Byfield conversation. I'm sure we will. We've got some time here. But we had to wait at least a couple months after the lottery. And I was pumped when we got number two. I was screaming Capo Caco. Obviously, I made a church and all that stuff behind your back. And then we did it all together. And I have nothing planned this time. Full disclosure. Nothing. And other than the things I said I would do at the beginning of this podcast, which everyone has to hold me to. It's ridiculous. But
I mean, everybody's crazy if they don't think we're already cooking up some merch ideas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Wingmates for life. But it's just a feeling where it's like, okay, the second overall pick, it was awesome. It's great. Capo Caco, that's my guy, Lord and Savior, etc. But like, you know right away, because Capo Caco was a step into contention, right? It was like one step into like, okay, the Rangers got Panarin. They got traded for Jacob Trouba. They got Capo Caco. Where Igor's coming. Adam Fox turned out to be great. We are taking a step in the right direction after just getting absolutely dismantled by that Carolina Hurricanes. Just destroyed. But getting the first overall pick and then adding that to Capo Caco and the core you already have is just like, okay, wow. I think we just almost like pretty much solidified contention for a while. Like, there's going to be a lot of hard questions facing this team. But we are going to be cooking for a long time. There's a chance our possible first line in 6 to 7 years from now is Capo Caco, Lafreniere, and Mika Zibanejad. That is fucking great, Gregory. That is amazing.
I'm not going to be the wet blanket today. So I'm not going to say, well, I'm not going to be the guy that sit here and explains for 5 minutes how it's great that Lafreniere is going to be a Ranger, but it doesn't help the fact that the New York Rangers can't play defense. It's just not what I'm going to do today. Yeah. I'm actually going to turn that entire argument on its head for a second.
Okay.
I think the New York Rangers as an organization is the number one winner here, right? And I think the number two winner here is Capo Caco, because the expectations are going to come off his shoulders so much next season. But I think secretly, the third winner tonight immediately for the Rangers of New York is Keandre Miller. Because with Lafreniere here, with Caco entering his second season, I think there's going to be a lot more leeway for Miller to make mistakes on the job. He's not going to be the focus. He's not going to have the media spotlight that he would have had. Not the spotlight necessarily, because Miller, I think, is a big personality, and I think the fan base as a whole is very excited for him to come here, and I think there's going to be a lot of momentum behind him. But if Miller had come here and the Rangers were picking 10th or 11th, the expectations for him, I think, would have been so much higher. Now it's, I think the expectations for Lafreniere are going to dwarf over everything else this team is going to do. So if you wanted to start the season with Keandre Miller on the New York Rangers instead of sending him to the AHL, I think you can not get away with it a little bit more. I just don't think the fans are going to be as all over him as they could have been had it been, I don't know who Drew would have come on here and say
Lundell.
That the Rangers were going to pick Anton Lundell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if it was Lundell, he would have been starting the year in Sweden. He would have been developing. We would have all been excited that he was cooking. But if Miller was the new rookie in the house, I think the pressure would have been immense. And it's not that Miller, if anyone could stand up to that type of pressure and exceed expectations, I would bet large amounts of money on Keandre Miller. I just think this is great for him because Lafreniere is going to steal some of the spotlight, and it's going to let Miller explore the space more freely in my mind.
Absolutely. I think that's a really great point, because Miller, you could even see it in camp, right? Like, even when we brought Rick Carpinello and Vince on here, they were both like, Miller is a real deal. All the tweets were like, he's serious. And I think
there was actually, maybe it's something we should have talked about a little bit more, but maybe it's just something we didn't think about it at the time. I think that camp was more freeing for Keandre Miller than it was for some other people, because Keandre Miller went into that camp knowing no matter what he did, he wasn't making the team. So all he had to do was be himself and play to his own abilities. He didn't have to worry about trying to be perfect in front of this coaching staff. There was nothing Keandre Miller could do to make the Rangers because it was against the rules. So Keandre Miller thrived without having any kind of expectations placed on him. And I'm not saying he could have done the exact same thing in training camp whenever that decides to start. But now again, Keandre Miller is going to enter another position where he's not going to be the number one focus. You can make an argument that Keandre Miller's success next year is actually more important to the New York Rangers than Alex Lafreniere, because the Rangers have so many options on offense. But all I'm saying is it's going to be nice that Miller is going to have so much freedom to do almost whatever he wants without everyone reacting to every little step that he takes.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And honestly, I can't believe it just happened. I'm still in shock. Like, I feel like the hair on my skin is standing up. I, like, am manic. And I was ready for sadness. I want to make this clear. I was ready to be miserable. Like, there was part of me that started convincing this morning, like, okay, I'm getting excited. I think it's the Rangers pick. Like, it's just time is due. It's time is now. If not now, when? I don't know. And I was going to be like, oh, well, if he goes to Florida, I'm just going to feel bad for the kid. Like, I'm just going to feel miserable. And if he goes to the Penguins, I'm going to hate everything. Everything. They can eat my butt for sure, sideways. And to have him join this squad that was already, would you say, ahead of schedule? Because I think they were, despite them getting their butts kicked by the Canes, and they really did, were totally dismantled, and I think there were some injuries, and Panarin didn't look himself, Miga didn't look themselves, I think David Quinn deserves some criticism, but I'm not here to talk about that right now. This is, adding a number one overall pick to this squad is a giant leap, and this team is going to be crazy fun for the next 5 to 6 years, and it's something I've been thinking about for a while. I mean, I had a conversation with, I think it was the former beat writer, Matt Kala, he's going to kill me, Kalamia, I think it is, on Twitter the other day.
There's no way he listens to that, so yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's true, it doesn't matter, you're right. Matt, I was talking to him, he was like, what would you rank this season in fun levels? And I think after the 2015 season, it had to be like second for me in fun levels in the last 10 years at least. You know, the 2014 season I thought was, it was a little rocky. Of course, the cup run was awesome, but the actual season itself and even the Pittsburgh series up until they did the reverse sweep was terrible. And to have these two guys, Kako and Lafreniere, go into this next year with Panarin, with Mika Zibanejad, Adam Fox, Igor Shesterkin, like, we're cooking for the next 5 years, and this team is already fun, like a highly skilled, fun squad, and we just added a tremendous, tremendous asset to our third line. Gregory.
Oh, I'm so excited for people to freak out when Quinn starts him on the fourth line or something. It's few things in this world get me as excited as how angry Rangers Twitter will get over a pregame line assignment. Probably because I'll be just as angry and disappointed as they are, but that's neither here nor there. As far as your ahead of schedule comment, I think they're just on schedule, because when you take into account the fact that where this team was when the season paused, it was still a team on the outside of the playoffs. They were being competitive, but there are clear holes on this team. And there's still, again, this is super fun. This is super great that Lafreniere is going to be a Ranger. The Rangers have a lot of shit they have to do this offseason.
There's so many hard decisions that next step forward. You. So many hard decisions in front of you. But this has to make some things easier, bar none. Like, we don't have a center. We don't know who's going to...
You know who actually... You know what? You know who this kind of sucks for?
Chris Kreider?
Vitaly Kravtsov.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of sucks for Kravtsov. What's he supposed to do?
I don't know.
If I had told you before today that there's a legitimate chance, probably north of 50% at this point, that Kravtsov starts next season in Hartford, you would have laughed at me.
Yeah, now it's like a lock. It's a lock.
It feels that way. Even if say, Fast walks, right? Say Fast walks, Kako moves up, Gauthier moves up. Kravtsov's going to come in and be a fourth-line winger? I don't think so. That's not his game. What's the point in that? I wonder...
He plays left wing.
Thing that sucks is, I was about to say, I wonder if the Rangers dangle Kravtsov in trade talks, but he had such a not
lackluster,
sterling season in Hartford that even if it's not a full... Like, it'd probably be 80 cents on the dollar if you're trying to trade him at this point.
We're clear. This is the manic episode, right? For Ryan, at least. Like, this is...
I'm just trying to think things through here.
No,
like,
these
are things I hadn't thought about until this exact moment.
I'm totally agreeing with you. I'm not flaming you at all. I'm just saying, and I'm prefacing what I'm about to say. That's what I'm doing. We're starting the Eichel thing, right? Like, it's happening.
Starting it. Baby, we already started it.
I know, but now... But now it's serious.
Yeah, what does it take? The Rangers' second pick this year, an unprotected first next year, Kravtsov, Strome.
Would you put Niels in? Would you put him in?
Yeah, I put him in the first time.
Yeah.
So do we think Yeah! You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna ask the question on Twitter right now.
Okay, what
are we
doing?
Let's just get it out there.
Let's just run it back. Hey, we have some 5-star questions today. I don't have them up. I'll get them up in a second. But they're probably all not applicable. But if you want to leave a 5-star question for next week for us, now the week is now. Now is the time. Because we're going to do like a whole mailbag by next week. Maybe we'll even do a mailbag on Wednesday this week. And we were going to do the Game 7, but we've got the first overall pick, Greg. Like, I just spit on my screen. That's where I'm at. I think I stained it too. Oh my God, I'm disgusting. I just can't, man. It's so weird, and I know this, I guess I don't want to bring them up, and I don't want to say their names, but being that fan of that squadron over in Astoria in Queens, like, you're not used to stuff like this happening, right?
Oh. You just asked me if I'm used to good things happening to my favorite team?
I knew better. It's...
Again, I started this podcast joking. Like, It's a joke for you, but also Andreas Giménez is like amazing.
Okay.
And I'm so happy and it's great, but no, I'm not used to good things. This is the same thing. Dude, Marcus Stroman opted out 2 hours ago. If we came on this podcast tonight and the Rangers had just lost the lottery,
I know we would have talked about
Stroman
the
opted out, I'd probably be sitting here with a knife in my arm. Like, so, I wouldn't be a happy camper.
So Ryan Strome, Kravtsov, Niels, and Carolina's first. Unprotected first 2021 for Jack Eichel. I think I do.
You do it. Of course you do. I think I do. And I know, again, if the Buffalo Sabres, if any NHL organization was run smart, I would say there's a 0% chance of it happening. But this is the NHL, baby. Anything's possible.
Right.
Anything's possible. Kevin Garnett. So it's like, I mean, if I'm the Sabres, I've said this before when we talked about Eichel, and it's worth repeating again. If I'm the Sabres, there's no way I accept any trade that doesn't include Filip Hedl.
Yeah.
But maybe, Ryan, just maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe there's a way to do it. Maybe. Mayhaps. Mayhaps. And the thing is, if you put Strome in the trade, you don't have to worry about paying Strome. Like, you have to worry about the Eichel money, right? Because it's north of $10 million.
Breaking news.
Well, you just
Live
added,
Radio
you
says
just
Panarin,
added
Panarin is one of his favorite players. Wow.
Makes me think. I'm just saying. So you have to account for the money, right? But you're basically moving out the money you're paying Strome now, plus the money you would eventually have to pay Strome in the future. So that's gone.
Right.
You're adding an entry-level contract to your books, so you don't really have to worry about that money. You could then dangle Tony for something else. You can go collect some more assets there. Hell, maybe the Sabres want Tony too. By all means, you can have him. It's... having Alex Lafreniere in the system now, this is basically, you know what this is, Ryan?
Oh,
you know what this
don't
is?
Don't do this.
You know what I'm gonna,
just please.
How about this? Forget about trading shit for Jack Eichel. Mm-hmm. Just fucking offer Sheet Barzal.
Ooh,
fucking make the Islanders miserable.
The Greg Kaplan special?
Yeah. Fucking offer Sheet Barzal, man. The Rangers were prepared to do it last year, right? We know this on record.
We know
this for fact.
We know for
if
a fact.
Braden
not
Point
resolved,
wanted
Point.
To accept an offer sheet. Right. This is an opinion. This is reportable fact. If the New York Rangers, if Braden Point was willing to accept a contract offer from the New York Rangers, they were ready to sign one last year. So we know for a fact that this front office is fine with offering the necessary capital when it comes to future draft stock to make a move on the restricted free agent market. If you were fine with it for Braden Point, why wouldn't you be fine for it for Matt Barzal?
Boy.
You have the first overall pick this year. You just had Kapokako, the second overall pick, last year. You just traded for Adam Fox. You've promoted Igor Shesterkin. You've banked Keandre Miller.
Yep.
You've banked Nils Lundqvist.
Yep.
You've banked Vitali Kravtsov. You've banked Filip Hedl. You've banked Robertson. You've banked Jones. You've banked Barron. You've banked all these guys.
I'm just
the Rangers right now have a number one or number two farm system in the National Hockey League. If there is any team that could swallow not having four first-round picks starting in 2021, it is the Rangers of New York. And you'd be crippling, Ryan, crippling your biggest in-media market rival. So you would be doing it from a does-it-make-the-team-better standpoint. Abso-fucking-lutely. Does it cripple one of your biggest rivals? Abso-fucking-lutely. Can you survive without having four first-round picks? If the Rangers are on this track, those first-round picks should be late firsts anyway. So we're talking about picks after 24th overall. Do it. Sign Barzal. I know it's going to it's complicated with how the Rangers get there, and it means they're not going to add anything to the defensive unit next year. But you know what? Just be the fucking 7 seconds or less Phoenix Suns. Score so many points, it doesn't matter how many you give up. Sign Barzal. I'm talking myself into it, Ryan. I've jumped a shark. I'm in.
Yeah, I think, again, in. This is the manic episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway. Everything's on the table. I don't give a shit. Everything is in play. Because now we're cooking. We are cooking, Gregory. Ugh. I know we need to sign a left-hand defense, but I know we need to get a center. But by God, if we pick up one more piece, we are really cooking. We really are. And Mark Stahl has to go. Sorry, Mark. It's time. It's time, buddy. I don't even know where to go from here. Can we just, like, I want to start, like, from the beginning, just, like, go through the day, but it seems like you, did you think, you thought there was a chance, but did you ever really think in your heart of hearts, because for me, I started convincing myself, but for you, did you think it was a chance at all? Like, did you think we'd be doing this podcast right now? Like, no, this particular one?
I was really excited to be upset and miserable today. Ryan, I was going to lean into it. I had 15 minutes on Andreas Jimenez prepared. I was ready to go.
That's great.
I really thought I was going to have to talk about that to make myself feel good. And we're now talking. We've already talked about two scenarios that before today were literal pipe dreams. Like, we weren't taking them seriously. I know we've joked about Eichel in the past.
We have. And it's fun content to think about. You know?
Yeah, we were kidding. For the most part, we were kidding.
I mean, with Eichel, I'm on and off kidding. But I'm dead serious. It's not a joke anymore, okay?
I'm serious.
It's not a joke.
I am a 120%. That rant just convinced myself right now that Matt Barzal needs to be a New York Ranger and anything else is unacceptable.
Okay, let's recap. Let's do a little Blue Shirts Breakaway history, shall we? We probably have some new listeners today. Maybe. I don't know. We have done
We're passing customers today.
Yeah.
That guy's got nothing on.
Full 60, by the way, is available for you to listen this week on the Athletic Podcast Network. Tell Customs we're better than him. Shout out to you, Craig. Yeah. And we will come on your podcast. Stop asking. Jeez. in the history of the show, and as of this November, we've been doing this show 5 years. Every single goddamn Monday. Never missed one, Gregory. Never missed one show. One show for this moment, all right? Where would you rank this in happiest we've been? Number 2 overall is up there, of course. The Jacob Trouba trade, we had to hang up on your dad, was up there, of course. Artemi Panarin is up there, too. I think this has to be, like, in the top 3. It has to be. You did call the Trouba things for 2 years in a row.
Rangers, so basically Ranger moments since we started podcast.
Yes.
Paco was great. Yep. Trouba was great. Panarin was great because that happened on a Monday. Yep. Man, this shit just keeps happening on Mondays.
Shout out to the shit happening on Mondays.
Yeah, Trouba trade was a Monday. Panarin was a Monday. Paco was a Monday.
I'm starting to see a trend.
Monday's a good day for the Rangers. Like, when someone says they got a case of the Mondays, they're going to be like, so you're really happy?
Mondays are
like,
dope.
You're looking forward to something?
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know what's sad?
Yeah.
Since we've started doing this podcast, I don't think an actual Ranger game has ever made me this happy. I think maybe this Zibanejad 5-goal game is the closest because that
– Yeah, and I was doing my goddamn taxes for this show that night. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but like honestly, think about it. 5 years since we started doing this podcast, I don't think a single game has made me as happy as –
The closest game for me, Gregory, was the Kako-Adam Fox overtime game, I think. Because it was like the big future, hope of the future game, in my opinion. I think that's the closest one. Dead air.
Yeah, I really... No playoff game, sad to say.
Well, because we started when it was the Ottawa series, pretty much. Like, that was the year we started. Like, 2016, we had three playoffs. We just missed the 2015 playoffs when we started. So.
Right. Yeah, I'd say this is up there, man. I'd really say it's up there.
This is great, man. It's great. I mean, it's like, there's not a lot like this. There really isn't. Like, this might never happen again in our lives, Greg. Did you think about that? Because I thought about it all day long. It was like,
Ryan, I always think about something not happening in my life because I don't think I'm going to make it very long. It's something I always keep considered. It's why I just want the Mets to be good once, because I just need to know that level of happiness.
I just need the Rangers to win one cup, Gregory. One cup. That's all I want. Two's bonus.
I really thought it was going to be like the Jets or the freaking Wild or someone like that.
Dude, if we went to Florida, it would have been so boring. I would have felt so bad for the kid.
I thought about it. I'm sure you saw my tweet last night. Like, I thought about it more. I have been so hard on the anybody but Pittsburgh bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it for a second, and I would legit be sick for Lafreniere or Byfield or anyone they would have taken number one overall to have to play their hockey in sunrise fucking Florida. Like, legitimately ill. I would have called in sick to work.
It's ridiculous, man. It's insane. All right. Here's the – I'm sure you saw this too, but I know a lot of people don't follow us on Twitter, or they aren't on Twitter, unlike everyone that's in sports media that has to be. Since 08, New York Rangers first-round picks. Delzato, 20th. By the way, 05 was Mark Stahl. Chris Kreider, 19th. McElrath, 10th. That's a yikes. JT Miller, 15th. 12th. Shea, 28th. Then in 17, we skip all those years in between. They don't have a first-round pick. Never happens. Anderson, Hedel. Okay, have Hedel at 21. That's good. Then Kravtsov at 9th, 18th. Kravtsov, 9th. Miller, 22nd. Niels, 28th. 19th. Kapokako, 2nd. 2020, Lafreniere. Woo! Woo! We're cooking, baby. Those last three drafts are solid. Listen, once Kravtsov turns into anything, we will be serious depth.
Hey, man, what do you think Elias Anderson is up to right now? You think people are going to give a shit about that anymore?
I was thinking about Elias Anderson today. I actually had a good, like, 3-minute Elias Anderson rant, like, ready to go if we didn't win the first overall pick, but I'm not going to do it. I don't think so. Or maybe I will. It's just like, you look at all the draft picks I just named, Gregory, and you look at some of the teams that are playing high-level hockey right now, even still in the draft. And 7th overall is the highest, other than Kapokako, on that list. So Anderson has to, in my opinion, or had to, really give something to the New York Rangers for them to be competitive. Now, this changes that, I believe, but Anderson not being there or playing center or playing at a high level in the NHL or even developing to that way really hurts the Rangers in the long term, because he's their highest draft pick since 08. 08, 7th overall. Like, I know we count Hedel as that 7th overall draft pick, right? We do that now. It's kind of the same thing, but it's not. Like, if he was here and he was producing, the Rangers would be a much better squad with a lot more depth. You saw how tough depth was on the bottom two. You saw it. And bottom two lines, that is, third and fourth line. You know what I'm saying. And if Anderson...
Bottom
six. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry. If Anderson was able to provide any sort of, you know, spark during that time, we didn't have to play Howden at third line center. We could play good Elias Anderson. It would have been a whole different team.
So I'm just... We agree. The New York Rangers need to improve their bottom six next year. So I'm just going to spitball something out there. Let's assume, now that we live in this crazy world that we live in, let's assume that the Rangers have Eichel or Barzal in the top six.
Okay.
Because why not? Yeah. Why the fuck not? Mm-hmm. There's a chance next year's bottom six, the third line could be Lafreniere, Hedel, Gauthier. And the fourth line could be any combination of Justin Richards, Patrick Kotarenko, Morgan Barron, if the Rangers want to bring back Jesper Foss on a super cheap team-friendly contract, Brendan Lemieux, ass. Like, that third line already is the best third line the Rangers have ever had since the 94 run, probably. And you could make a fourth – you could squint your eyes and make a fourth line out of something there, and it doesn't even matter on the fourth line because it's only playing 7 minutes a game anyway. So Man, I'm off the rails. I have now convinced myself that Matt Barzal is a New York Ranger, and there is just nothing that you can say, Ryan, that gets me off that train of thought.
Rick Carbonello alert.
Here's the great thing. Ryan, here's the absolute great thing. I'm pulling up Cap Friendly right now just to remind myself of this.
Flat cap?
I think it's something ridiculous.
Or the amount of money we have?
Are you talking?
Yes, I'm talking.
No, can you hear me? Forget us. The Rangers can make it work. People are freaking out. The way the Rangers make it work is by not upgrading anywhere else and just signing Matt Barzal, but it's possible. The New York Islanders next year, Ryan, have $8.1 million in cap room right now. 8.1. So the Rangers don't even need to go full max to make the Islanders' life miserable.
I love how we're doing all the sheet stuff. This is incredible.
They should. Give them $12 million, see if I give a shit. Really? Like, who are the Islanders going to trade, man? Who's going to take Cal Clutterbuck off the Islanders' hands? Who's going to take Leo Komarov off the Islanders' hands? By the way, not every team will be able to take Leo Komarov off the Islanders' hands. He's got a 17 no-trade clause because that's what the Islanders did. They gave a no-trade clause to Andrew Ladd. They can't move Jordan Eberle. They can't move Brock Nelson.
Oh, boy.
You're telling me the Rangers can't drop in a godfather offer on Lou Lamoriello and he's going to be able to match it? I don't think so. The Rangers currently, next year, before any buyouts, before anything else, have $13 million in cap space. Now, that's $13 million in cap space without Georgiev under contract, without D'Angelo under contract, without the god Ryan Strom under contract, without Brandon Lemieux under contract. They can get Phil DiGiuseppe back on a minimum level deal, I'm sure. They would have to get creative, for sure. It's not going to be easy. They'd have to find someone to take some salary from them. Maybe this is the offseason that some people wet their pants and the Rangers move on from Pavel Buchnevich if they sign Matt Barzal. But whatever the Rangers do, whether they give Anthony DeAngelo money or not, the defense isn't going to be great because they're still going to have Mark Stahl and Brendan Smith. Those guys aren't going anywhere. No one's trading for those guys. So, like, would you rather just bite the bullet for 1 year and not improve defensively and just hope that you can score 7 goals a game? Or do you want to extend Anthony DeAngelo? Give me Barzal every day. Screw it. DeAngelo and Strom could turn into future prospects. Keep that farm system coming. So you won't need the future first-round draft picks because you've traded DeAngelo and Strom for more pieces. You've already replaced those picks. What are we doing, baby? This is easy.
Update.
Get Jeff Gordon's number. Give me Jeff Gordon's number.
Can we just call Rick right now?
Rick will laugh off the stage. He hasn't had power for 7 days.
Yeah, he's tweeted, a nice time to be without electricity, Wi-Fi, cable, cell service for 7 days. Wow. Rick. That sucks, buddy. I would have just had him come live down here. Me and Rick bunk it up for the number one overall pick. Fun times. Would have been great. All right, let's do a quick ad break, shall we? This ad is from Indochino. Support for Blue Shirts Breakaway is also brought to you by Manscaped, who is your best in below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Big moves, Manscaped just launched in Canada. For those listeners in Canada, you can be one of the first Canadians to experience their life-changing products. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and have their new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC at manscaped.com. All you have to do is go to manscaped.com, THEATHLETIC20. That's it, THEATHLETIC20. 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code THEATHLETIC20. And for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. So again, one more time, go to manscaped.com and use code THEATHLETIC20. And this podcast is also brought to you by DraftKings. Grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball is back. That's right, the boys will be getting back out there on the diamond this week. And while we may not be able to join them in the stadium, there's plenty of action to be had from the comfort of your home. There's no better place to get in the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate baseball coming back, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering free bets for every home run your team hits. Taking advantage of this Grand Slam offer is easy. All you have to do is place a pregame bet at least $25 on your home team, and for every home run hit in that game, you'll get $5 worth of free bets. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new users a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't worry if baseball isn't your game. DraftKings offers great odds and promotions on all sports, ranging from MMA to basketball. DraftKings Sportsbook is U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. Plus, it's easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code QUICK when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code QUICK to get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years older, New Jersey only. Bonus compromised to first deposit and first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25x playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the show. Okay, we're back. Easy, 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 easy. Number one overall pick. Woo! Number one overall pick. Woo! I got to do a stand-up special. I got to run a half marathon. I got to do a YouTube series where I eat for people. I got a lot to do, Gregory. I forgot that
Fitz has to eat Wendy's every day for a month now.
That's a fact. I want to say, I don't want to take full credit for this, but I offered a substantial amount to the gods for this first overall pick. It's good for the league. It's good for me. And I'm happy to sacrifice for what we've gotten here. This is incredible.
Incredible. And stuff. I was happy. I was thrilled to not have to do anything.
Yes. A very familiar Greg feeling. Thrilled to not have to do anything.
Great. It's great. It's where I thrive, man. I just come on here. I spit fire. That's all I talk about. It's wonderful.
It's great. I'm going to work my ass off, especially on this half marathon. If you have run a half marathon, please send me tips and how I can get ready, because I have to get ready soon. Where do we even go from here? Where do we even go? Do you want to answer five-star questions? We have some.
I do, but first, let me I'm trying to go on NHL.com to see if I can order my Barzal jersey now.
Your Rangers Barzal jersey? Imagine.
What's your number 13? Best number 13 the Rangers have ever had. Screw Kevin Hayes. Let me tell you right now.
Kevin Hayes. If I don't have to see him ever again, it will be soon enough. If the Flyers win the cup, I'll be sick. But I'll be okay because I got the first overall pick. It's going to be totally fine.
Yeah, honestly, if there's any year for, like, if Vigneault raises the cup, this is the one year where I'd just be like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't care. I'm sitting pretty, baby. I don't have to worry about his dumbass making line assignments. I don't have to worry about anything. I'm good. I'm golden.
It's crazy. I got to say, a lot of these five-star questions are going to wait. They're just not they're not anything that we're answering right now. But we're going to do it next week. We'll do a whole mailbag of five-star questions. I'm sure we're going to have a fucking ton. So we'll go for that.
We were supposed to have a guest today, but something came up, and now we won't have a guest. Okay. So.
That's fair. We also got the first overall pick. Like, things are
okay. Yeah, I think it's okay. You know, our friend Matt Estevez was going to come on. We were going to talk the playoff bubble and all that stuff. I got to be honest, I don't think a single Ranger fan gives a shit about what happens in that bubble today. So we can talk about that next week after some games have been played.
Steve's will come back on. He's a good dude. I miss him. Can you imagine the first time Kako and Lafferty like team up for a goal, bro? The Sistine Chapel? I mean, that's what we're calling them, right? That's what they have to be. The chapel? Oh, my God. I'm so pumped, bro.
There's a reason I can't call them that, and it's not anything I'm going to explain on this here podcast, because we have people
never mind.
Hey, it's funny to do this podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not explaining that one. Yep. You guys can get – if we're ever allowed to hang out in person, get a couple drinks with me.
Yeah, next time we do a live show and we have a beer.
Yeah, that one can be discussed in person. That one is not getting discussed on this podcast.
Yes, okay. No, never. Never any on any podcast. Yep, okay, Greg, I take it back. All right.
Yeah, we're not calling them that, because that's where my head will go every time.
Yep.
So forget it.
Yep, nope. I'm good. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, but it's just it's just nuts. It's our good friend Jeff Belinsky texted me as soon as the lottery happened, and he said he screamed a little when the Rangers ping pong ball came out, and I just said, this is hilarious. And he tried to hit me with it's hilarious, thinking another high-performing winger is exactly what the Rangers need in order to get over the hump. Let me tell you something, brother, to quote the horrible Hulk Hogan. Yeah, that guy stinks too.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about that guy. But you think I care about what this – I've said this was a great day for Keandre Miller. You know who else this is a great day for? Mark Stahl. Because we're not going to talk about Mark Stahl for a solid 6 weeks.
6 minutes.
A lot of things have to happen in the next 6 weeks for me to go back on a Mark Stahl rant. I just don't care about that guy. Whatever. Who gives a shit?
Listen, Rangers
fan.
He
exists.
You have one more year of Brandon Smith and Mark Stahl at $10 million combined. One more year. And after that, the cap, you have a lot of money coming off the books. A lot of money. Now, people have to get signed, but there's going to be a chance there to really push. To really push. Because you're going to have entry-level contracts from Kako and Lafreniere for at least 3 more years, I think, at this point. So we are really going to be making some noise. Woo! I'm really not composed at all. It's been an hour and a half. I'm spitting everywhere. It's disgusting. Ew, gross. Oh, man.
I'm just trying to think of how the Rangers can improve in other areas and field the competitive roster, all while giving Barzal $12 million. So, like, let me throw this one at you. This one might sting a little.
All right. Kako's not going anywhere.
We know the Rangers can open up a free $3.5 million by buying out Henrik,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've said that the only reason they do that is if they'd sign Georgiev as well. Well, now, how about this? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What if we buy out Hank? What if we still trade Georgiev? So we've opened up that $3.5 million, and we just let Tyler Wahl cook as Igor's backup. How important is it to have a backup for Igor Shesterkin that is not amazing and in zone right?
I think again, this is the Manic episode. Everything's on the table.
Uh-huh.
I'm in.
Uh-huh.
I'm in. I think you trade Georgiev, you buy out Hank, get Wahl up here, or sign a cheap backup, and let's cook. Let's do it.
Right, because by doing that, the Rangers would still have about $2 million in cap space. Maybe you can convince Foss to come back on that $1.8 million and be like, hey, buddy.
But maybe. Actually,
we're friends. You're friends.
We'll see.
I got to tell you, Ryan, who, look.
Not to plug Craig Custis, but he had an article just about this today.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was actually going to mention the same article. If any player is going to get screwed by this flat cap, it's a player like Jesper Foss. Who's going to pay him?
I don't know. And who's going to pay him how much?
Who's going to pay him more than what the Rangers could offer? Like, there was a legit scenario before where some team would look at Jesper Foss like they look at a Jonas Donskoy. And they give him $3 million a year to just be what he is. And that's fine. But who's going to – no one has the money to do that anymore.
Nobody.
No one's going to want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I actually don't know who's going to pay Jesper Foss. So maybe he ends up coming back. And maybe that is a good point. I don't know if Tyler Wahl's ready. But if you could sign another
backup. Who cares? Who cares? You got Igor.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's going to play 65 games, right?
You don't really have to be ready.
If Igor's healthy, you're going to play 65 games. That's it. Maybe plus, maybe 70. Oh, who knows how many games there's going to be? We don't know.
If there's anything I've learned from the years of following Hockey League, you can always acquire a backup goalie. It's been proven. Remember, we're not that far removed from Pavelich being the Rangers' backup goalie and everything being fine. Like, you can go out there and find a goalie and survive if your starter is good. And I feel pretty good about Igor being good. And who knows, Ryan? Who knows? Maybe Henrik decides to hang him up, and that's just $8.5 million that disappears.
Yeah, there's something weird going on there, right? I have a gut feeling that something weird is happening. I don't know.
All I'm saying is, if Hank magically retires,
Yeah, it does feel like that's on the table. By the way,
it's not off the table.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's the main course.
It's not.
But if you ask the waiter if the chef is offering anything off menu. That Henrik retirement is just lingering there. He retires, you get that money opened up. Baby, I'm just getting started. That's all I'm saying.
I was going to record myself and I was going to go live and I was like, no, I don't want to be sad on the internet. I really don't. I was like, can I tell you something actually really embarrassing? I couldn't figure out how to go live on Twitter. I have no idea. I tried to...
That's not a good look. I know how to go live on Twitter, so you need to know how to go live on Twitter.
I had no idea. I was trying to find. I was like, I can upload pictures here. I can put a poll. I can add some other stuff. I couldn't go live. I don't know how to do it. I still don't know how to do it. I even Googled it. That's how sad it was. And I was like, screw it. I'm not doing it. And I wish I would have had me crying online for the happy reason. But I didn't, unfortunately. Man, I don't even know where to go from here. We have 20 minutes left of this podcast. Alexi, we haven't even talked about Lafreniere at all, like what he is as a player. So I guess we could do that a little bit, right? From what we know, we're not draft experts in any way here. We'll probably have Drew on to talk about him at some point. Maybe even Wednesday. I don't know. Let's see. And
we're just never going to end the 94 rewatch at this point because things just keep happening to the New York Rangers.
Yeah, I want to end it, of course, but I can't justify us doing it when we just got the number one overall pick, right? I just can't do it. From a producer media standpoint, like, I just can't figure that out. Let's just review something.
I mean,
go on.
Forget it. It ain't that important.
What, doing it or what?
I was just going to do it Friday. We're still going to be doing this. Like, we're going to have nothing new to say about Lafreniere on Wednesday.
I still think that's what people are going to want to hear about. That's we're giving the people what they want. We can talk about this later. But yeah, Lafreniere, his last two seasons in the Canada under 20, in the QMJHL, 105 points, 2018-2019. 2019-2020, 112 points. Over 200 points in two seasons. This guy's a monster. A monster. By the way, in those games, first season, 61 games played. Second season, 52 games played. And 37 goals and 35 goals. Guy is crazy good. Crazy. I'm excited to see if he, like, has... Do you think...
Can I just laugh about something right now?
What's up?
An Islander fan slid into our replies on the Barzal thing and said, man, Isles must be in your head all day for you to have that thought right after your team wins the lottery. Yeah, I'm having that thought because the Rangers are great and Matt Barzal is great. And I would like greatness on my team.
Yeah.
That's why I'm having
honestly,
that
it's thought. A compliment to you, Islander fans. I like Matt Barzal a lot. I wish I didn't. I never liked John Tavares. And that, by the way, that still stays. But I like Matt Barzal. He seems awesome. And I like him as a player. Tons of points for this guy over the last 2 years. I don't have the big scouting breakdown, but they talked about his weight for a while on the NHL Network. I don't understand that. Guy's tremendously skilled. Do you think he comes in and fits better than Kako? Because the rub on Kako when he came, not the rub, but rather the information on Kako when he came to the league was he was the most NHL-ready prospect, and that turned out to be not the case at all. Not that any of the early draft picks were ready for the NHL, but I think Lafreniere might actually be NHL-ready.
I mean, I don't know if he's NHL ready. He has nothing left to prove at a level that isn't the NHL, which is not necessarily, I mean, it's in the same vein as Kako. Kako was playing in a professional hockey league already, but you could have made the argument that he was going from European ice to North American ice, and maybe there, I mean, obviously there was a learning curve, but at the time it didn't feel like there was a learning curve as obvious. You could have made the argument that Kako needed a little bit more seasoning. Lafreniere's been over here. Lafreniere's been doing it. He's been head and shoulders better than all the competition he's been playing with. He's been the number one prospect in the amateur division for a solid Jesus Christ, Trey Turner. Where's that ball going to land? That's not great. Steve Metz, what up, baby? He's got nothing left to prove at a level that isn't the NHL, and he's doing it in North America. So it is a little bit different. It's not like the level of competition Lafreniere has been playing against. I don't know the equivalency to that of Liga. I would imagine Liga is a much more difficult league to play in because, again, there's a grown man factor that you have to take into account.
Right.
But I there's nothing immediately to benefit in terms of Lafreniere going to the AHL. There's no immediate benefit. It's not the same for him as it was for Kako.
Here's my next question. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just about done with that thought.
So here's my next question. Is this what it feels like when the Pittsburgh Penguins got Malkin and they also got Crosby? Because Crosby is a different level of prospect, right? We could agree. Like, him and McDavid are the last two, like, super prospects.
I mean, Ovechkin was on that level, too.
That's fair.
Ovechkin, it was very clear that he was going to be great from day one, I think.
Right.
That's
fair. But those are the
I don't know because I as much as people gush about Lafreniere, I think he's more Austin Matthews than he is like
Crosby.
Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like he's great. Everyone tells me he's great. Everyone tells me that this draft class is amazing. And even with as amazing as this draft class is, Lafreniere is the unquestioned number one contender
now. Some people will talk about Byfield. Some people
will. But even then, I think they preface every Byfield conversation with they're trying to be a little bit contrarian. But it's I don't know. It also it stinks trying to immediately say this guy is going to be X I don't think that's fair to Lafreniere.
It's not.
I don't like doing it. I'd rather Alexis Lafreniere be the first Alexis Lafreniere than him trying to be anybody else. And I hope that's greatness. It's tough. It just I don't think it's Crosby Malkin, because
it feels like that a little bit to me.
I know, but Crosby was just like,
he's different.
Crosby saved the franchise. He really did. If the Penguins don't get Crosby, I don't know if the Pittsburgh Penguins are what they are today. I don't think Alexis Lafreniere is a franchise saver. That's not a knock on Alexis Lafreniere. Someone that saves the franchise.
Who's franchise saver? It's literally Ovechkin, Crosby, McDavid. And look what happened to the Oilers in the season.
McDavid is just Mike Trout. The comparisons to them are one-to-one.
It's true.
Absolute best player in the league that can't do shit.
Absolute vanilla ice cream personalities. And that's it.
Oh, be careful. People are going to get angry about that thought.
Is that true?
Steve Simmons.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Steve. No. Dater. Adrian Dater. Said,
yeah, yeah.
Who we've had on this podcast. I didn't know there was such bad press surrounding Adrian Dater when we had him on the podcast. I guess that's ignorance on my part, and I should have been better.
Was he the Colorado guy, right?
Yeah.
He was okay.
But now we got Ryan Clark. We've upgraded.
Oh,
man.
Ryan Clark
we're doing
is
great.
The man. The man. I love Ryan Clark.
He's the best.
He is. I don't know where to go from here, Gregory. I'm sort of at a loss for words. The shock is just starting to wear off a little bit. The butterflies are coming down in my stomach.
You should have done what I've done, which is immediately pivot into the next thing you got to focus on, which is an offer sheet.
What's the next thing I have to focus on? The focus is daydreaming and thinking about what this team's going to look like in the future and getting that center, which is, I guess, the offer sheet.
You know what, though? Shout out to the New York Mets for trying to keep me level-headed on this beautiful Monday evening.
No more Mets. 12 minutes.
they're immediately losing to the Nationals. So they're really trying their darndest to be like, hey, Greg, heard you were happy tonight. Here's a little something to make you less happy. And you know what, buddy?
Down,
you know what?
Can't let him get you down.
Kiss my ass. I don't
Eat
care
my
tonight.
Butt. Eat
really
my butt.
Do what you got to do. Whatever you want to do, you got a one-night pass, baby.
Oh, boy. Wonderful times.
As I say this, I think Soto just took Matt's deep
great.
Again.
So,
it's like I tempted the gods, Ryan. Really did.
You did.
Really put that carrot out there. It was like, I promise I won't care about anything. And then Steven Matz is like, oh, yeah, here's a hanging curveball to Juan Soto. I'm like,
can't even get the number one overall pick and not talk about watching a Mets game. That's where we're at.
What do you want? This is my lane. I own this lane. You want me to talk about Tis the Law? Because he freaking dominated the Travers this
no,
weekend.
No, I'm good.
It was one of the best I've ever seen.
I'm good.
I can do 15 minutes on Tis the Law. You want that?
No.
Would you rather the Mets or Tis the Law? You're going to have to choose one right now.
I would choose the Mets every single time, and you know that. You know
that. That's because you don't respect Tis the Law.
Wait, you're mad I chose the Mets? Welcome.
That
horse is breakaway, by the way, everyone.
In competition today. I bet you Richard Migliori would agree to me.
Number one New York Rangers podcast where we talk strictly all things New York Rangers pod. And if you're a new listener, this is what it's like all the time. So welcome. All right. I don't know where to go from here. I think we do have 10 minutes left. Damn, man. I guess the whole day from the start of it doesn't feel real really anymore. And when I started going into it earlier, when I started going through the deep dive, like I said earlier today, the 1965 thing stuck out to me. Do you really think it counts? Like, I feel bad for the Wild. I feel a little bad for Nashville. Like, they've never had a first overall pick, but they haven't had the time in the league that these other teams have. It just felt like it was our time. And it still feels like that now. Now that we have the first overall pick, now that we're moving forward into what would you call... I guess this brings us back to the conversation about Chris Kreider that we had earlier in the season, now that I'm thinking about it. And we said, hey, now that the Rangers have signed Chris Kreider, they are no longer rebuilding. The rebuild is now over, and they are now going into contention. Where does this take us in the next step in the process? Because if they're no longer rebuilding, and they weren't just contenders yet, and I don't think they're like still true Stanley Cup contenders, what would you classify this squad as going forward?
Unless Lafreniere all of a sudden becomes a defenseman, there is no... He doesn't take the Rangers from one level to the next. He makes the Rangers more fun. He makes the offense more exciting. But until the New York Rangers decide that they're going to revamp defensively, there is no single offensive player the New York Rangers could add that changes the conversation, unless we're talking about Matt Barzal, future Ranger great. I honestly, as crazy as it sounds, I don't think this move by itself does not shift the competitive timeline for the Rangers in any general direction. I think it frees the Rangers up to do a lot more things, obviously, as we've said endless times on this here episode tonight. But the Rangers have some holes they have to fill defensively. They have the prospects that could possibly do it, but it's going to be a matter of giving these guys the room to run. It's Alexis makes the Rangers more fun. I will say that. So the New York Rangers should be a playoff team next year, given the own timeline that they've established for themselves. I don't think the New York Rangers are Stanley Cup contenders yet, but they are definitely playoff contenders. But until the New York Rangers decide to revamp defensively, which in their terms means moving on, not just moving on from Brandon Smith and Mark Staal, but effectively replacing those guys to eat those minutes and start playing more organized defensively, then this team will always have a restriction on it. But the one thing the New York Rangers can do now is address those defensive deficiencies more creatively, because now you can talk about a potential Pavel Buchnevich trade without losing something significantly on the offensive end. Now you can talk about trading Vitali Kravtsov without giving up what was your second best forward prospect in your minor league system. Now you can talk about moving that second first round pick the Rangers have this year, because that is just a free roll of the dice at this point for the Rangers, and that roll of the dice can be anything. Having the number one overall pick means New York Rangers have more options.
Flexibility.
But having Alexis Lafreniere does not mean the New York Rangers necessarily are in a better position today than they were yesterday. They should be, because, again, they can do so many different things now. But it's going to be up to Jeff Gorton and John Davidson to make the right decisions. And while I think they're capable, you know, the onus is on them. They're going to have to do it. No question.
Oh, man. So there is people slowing down the ball, and the Leafs ball hits the Rangers ball up. Thank you. Thank you, Maple Leafs. Thank you.
hate to see it. Hate to see it.
Oh, God. I'm going to watch this video over and over again. We're back, baby. We're in for another wild year of Blue Shirts Breakaway. The only disappointing part about this is we don't know when hockey's coming back. Yeah. But when it does come back, you best believe we'll be ready. We're going to be going over, for people that haven't listened to this show before, I'm sure we'll be doing a ton of nonsense, a ton of hyper theory. We'll be getting ready for the draft, talking about who the Rangers are going to pick, hopefully Mysak, with the second overall, first pick, not second overall, that'd be crazy, their second pick in this draft. And there'll be a lot of flexibility, a lot of weird things happening for the New York Rangers. We'll be covering all of it here on Blue Shirts Breakaway over the next couple months. And, of course, you'll get your other nonsense and other Mets talk here also. That's what we do here on Bush's Breakaway. So, with that being said, Gregory, is there any sort of parting, I guess, feeling you have? Like, what is your gut feeling now about just the New York Rangers? Like, do you feel positive? Do you feel...
Yeah, I feel great. Matt Barzal is going to be a Ranger. I've never felt better.
Man, I got to tell you, you've done some voodoo in the past, right? You have. I gotta tell you, and some of it's been weird. It's been frankly weird. You called the Jacob Trouba thing before anybody else, in my opinion. And I'll give you some credit there, and I hate giving you credit, you know that. You called that. If this even gains steam, like if this starts getting blogged about, if this starts getting mentioned in other places, you had it first. You had it first.
I'm gonna have a very long conversation with our good friends, Hockey Stat Miner, and Shayna Goldman, and we're going to crunch the numbers. Shayna's going to make it sound pretty because she is so much better with the English language than I'll ever be. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an athletic article, baby. It's going to happen.
Oh, Rick's going to get power back right about it.
Ryan, it makes too much sense. That's all I'm saying. I was so angry about it from a Devils perspective. I'm not a Devils fan. It's not as slam dunk as it is for the Devils, because the Devils have so much cap space.
Right.
But there's a way to make it happen. It's not that hard. And it's not like the moves you would need the Rangers to do necessarily cripples them from a team-building standpoint. Does not having Tony DeAngelo make the New York Rangers significantly worse next year? No. Does having to play Brendan Smith and Mark Stahl, something the Rangers were probably going to have to do anyway, make the Rangers significantly worse? They can't get any worse, those two guys. Got to tell you. We've seen it. The only way Mark Stahl could get worse is if he somehow melts into the ice itself.
Rewind this podcast and physically and talk about 6 weeks from now, Mark Stahl.
Yeah. It's like the things the Rangers would have to do to make that happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a Henrik Lundqvist retirement galaxy brain theory here where the Rangers could do everything they want and more.
I know.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying.
All right.
Like, imagine, Ryan. Imagine Henrik Lundqvist. He gets carried out on the shield like the knight that he is.
Oh, and careful. His passing, he's a hero.
He brings you Barzal.
I like Eichel more, I think. But do I like Eichel more? I don't know.
Yeah, but you gotta give up known quantities for Eichel.
Right.
You just give up these theoretical first round picks for Barzal.
The new era starts now. We are now.
Yeah, it's Matt Barzal season, baby.
It's Lafreniere, Capocacco, wingmates for life. We're just ready to cook. All right, we'll be back later this week. I can't believe this happened. I'm still shocked. I hope everyone out there listening enjoyed this moment because it may not happen for a long time. But hey, you got swept by the Canes. Shit sucked. But we now have hope for the future. Serious hope. Serious hope. We'll talk to you guys later. We'll be back next week or later this week for BSBOT. Bye. Oh, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. Follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. And just to wrap this up, I will be posting a timeline for everything I promise to do. I promise to do it. I am not backing out. I'm a man of my word, if anything else. I will be training for a half marathon. I'll be doing a stand-up special, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. I don't know. We're going to do it, all right? We're going to figure it out. Greg will be there to support me as he always does.
If you guys think Ryan ever welches on anything, just ask our Patreon subscribers who all got, for sure, their personalized Pope videos from Ryan.
Wow. Good shot. I like how I said that after Greg supports me on everything.
I call your shit when you don't follow through. Someone's got to do it.
Well, listen, I got a lot on my plate. I will do it. I will get it done. It will get done. That's it. So it'll happen.
I believe you.
All right.
I believe you.
We'll be back next week. I love you guys. Bye.